ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः
ॐ दट् ब्रह्मन् इज़् इन्फिनिट् and this universe is also infinite. The infinite proceeds from the infinite. Taking the infinitude of the infinite universe, it remains as the infinite Brahman alone. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all. Yesterday, we have seen how Yajnavalkya had started teaching to Maitreyi, and this teaching started from the fifth mantra. What is the essence of the fifth mantra? In this world, everyone loves only Atman. Atman is not the individual, but the universal. Even from another point of view, God, if God is everywhere, is there any existence of anything else besides God? It cannot be. Everywhere and somewhere somebody else is there, some other object is there, that is not possible. Even from that point of view, everybody is loving only the Atman. Why do we love Atman alone? Because it is of the nature of Paramananda Swarupa, of the nature of infinite, eternal, unbroken bliss. And as I explained, this is a point you have to keep in mind, that I have to exist in order to experience good, bad, happiness, unhappiness. So, Sat, without Sat, Ananda cannot be experienced. Then, I have to be conscious. Not only I should exist, I should be fully conscious. If I am 1% conscious, then my experience will be only 1%. If a student has got only 1% concentration, his knowledge will be only 1%. That is the correlationship we have to presume in every respect. If our stomach is small, so it can only accommodate as much as it could. If somebody else's stomach is huge, like Bhimasena, so it could accommodate more. Not only that, if I could digest 1% of what I eat, what I consume, then my ananda will be only to that extent. If Bhimasena could consume 100% and be immediately hungry, then his ananda will be great to that extent. But if God is eating, and God is called Vaishvanara Agni, he can digest the whole universe, he can burn the whole universe. What does it mean? What happens when we eat? That object which we eat doesn't exist anymore, but it is not destroyed. It loses its individuality, becomes one with me. So I expand to that extent. Perhaps that is why people's stomach goes on expanding. The more they eat, the more fat they eat, then their stomach also becomes expanded, and he cannot complain that the chicken is fat or the oil is fat. No, it has become one with the person. So he says, I am fat. If he doesn't say, everybody will point it out. So this is the essence. There is nothing but Atman. Atman is of the nature of Sat Chit Ananda. All of us, what are we seeking? Ananda. How do we know? Because the moment we do not get Ananda, even we do not wish to be existent. We wish to be unconscious. When the pain becomes unbearable, the doctor injects anesthesia. That is, we are separated as if for the time being from the experience of pain. So everybody, all of us, are running only after God, albeit unconsciously. So what is the lesson we have to learn, or Agnivalkya wants to teach us through Maitreyi, that if anyone can love God, and we all of us have to love God. And that's what Sri Ramakrishna says, God realization is the only goal of life. Swami Vivekananda says, each soul is potentially divine. It means actually, not only you are divine, you cannot escape from divinity and you cannot postpone it. Whatever we do in this world is for the realization of Ananda, because unconsciously we don't want to die, we don't want to be unhappy, and we want to know that we are happy and not suffering much. That is the lesson we have to learn. Now the opposite. What is it? Whoever, because of this ahankara, egotism. What is egotism? That which separates many things from oneself. In fact, everything. A selfish person cannot even love his own family members. He can only love himself, like Virochana. But what happens when a man loves the body? Body rejects him. What happens when the person loves the mind? The mind rejects him. That is why if you study psychology, you will very soon find out that the more you are concentrated, you have become one with your mind, and to that extent you experience tremendous joy, your knowledge expands, and you forget your individual body, because now you are expanding your mind. So, the negative description that if anybody, maybe out of ignorance, or even after knowing scriptural teachings, one can become very ignorant, because not after coming to know what the scripture teaches, and still the person doesn't strive for the Atman, such a person is no different from a thoroughly ignorant person. It is the changes that are brought about both in the body, in the mind, and especially in our behavior, our relationships, our perception of the world, that proves whether we are including everything within ourselves or trying to separate ourselves from everything else. That's very important for us to understand. So Yajnavalkya now teaches to Maitreyi. We should always forget now, Yajnavalkya was the husband. He is not the husband. He was the husband. Maitreyi is not the wife. She was the wife. Now she became an apt, receptive, highly fit, adhikarini, sadhana, chatushtaya, sampanna, adhikarini. So that is the relationship. Shastra is only being taught to such a apt disciple, but through the medium of this teacher. A teacher is only an instrument. So what is he teaching? That whoever perceives multiplicity. What is multiplicity? This is me, everything else is separate. Then if anybody thinks I am separate, but the whole world, everything in the world, every object, every human being, every living creature is separate from me, and they also instantaneously feel. In this connection, I remember a beautiful anecdote. There was the greatest woman saint, one of the greatest women saints, Rabia of Sufism. One day, she was walking in the forest, and the birds were competing with each other, quarreling with each other, who will get a place to sit on her shoulders. And there was one of her followers, admirers, who had given up eating meat, seeing Rabia. Like Saint Francis, he used to address the birds as sisters, the sun, the moon as brothers, brother sun, brother moon, etc. And animals, brother wolf. So, like that, this Rabia, that very attitude, she never speaks about it, but she is the very embodiment of love. She knows, this bird is me, I am the bird. She knows, every animal is me, I am the animal. Every tree is me, I am the tree. So he is her follower. He was trying to invite the birds. I am a very harmless person. I have given up eating meat 20 years back. Please come and sit. I would love that. But alas, the birds, the moment he approaches near, birds started flying away from him. Then he became a little bit, I think, hurt. So he asked Rabia, how come birds are competing with each other to sit on your shoulders? But I was not doing any harm to any birds. But how come that these birds are avoiding me? Rabia turned. She could read the past, present and future of anybody. She said, that's because though you have given up eating meat, but the taste of the meat lingers within you. Any bells are ringing in your mind? Sri Ramakrishna gives the example. If you monks are meditating and a woman happened to pass by, they were all with closed eyes, shut eyes, trying to meditate. But one monk opened and with a side glance started observing the woman. And Sri Ramakrishna explains, that's because he had given up wife, children, maybe children, etc. But at some time back, some years back, he had experienced all those things. So the taste, vishaya vinivartante, when a person doesn't experience objects for a long time, memory also seems to have been lost. But rasavarjam, but the taste, the samskara, how pleasurable it was, will never depart from that person's deep unconscious. The moment an object appears, this memory springs back. Because if the memory had not sprung from this monk, he would not have opened his eyes and sought the source of the anklets, the sound of the anklets. How much of psychology is involved? That's why I tell, when you are talking to somebody, and if your glances are resting upon one person more than other persons, then you will have to stop and analyze. Since I am speaking with so many, why is my sight again and again drawn to this particular person? There must be an element of attraction. And that attraction could be any type of attraction, could be possession, it could be a sexual desire, anything like that. So, Agnivalkya now wants to teach the simple truth, what is spiritual life, including everybody, everything, into oneself. We have seen in the Taittiriya, a spiritual seeker, first of all, he includes every person's, every living creature's body, and that is called looking upon every body as Brahma, Brahman. That is why Annam Brahmeti Vyajanat. And when he reaches the pinnacle of that progress, then he understands that there is something higher. There is a limitation which he thought this is the highest unlimitedness. But he perceives that is limited. And in Vedantic terms, this limitedness is called karya or effect. Unlimitedness in relation with that effect is called cause, karana. When a person succeeds in becoming one with a lower cause, immediately he finds that cause had transformed itself into an effect and he goes on seeking what is the cause. That is how he transcends all the panchakoshas. Etam annamayam atmanam upasankramati. So we have been studying that one, rather we have completed that one. We are only summarizing the essence of the Taittiriya Upanishad. So now, this is what Yajnavalkya wants to teach. So, one important point we have to remember here. I may consider somebody as Brahman, that means as Atman, that means as myself, but others may not consider. That doesn't matter. Only a spiritual seeker can think that everything is Atman. Everybody is not going to be enlightened by one person's spiritual progress. That is why if say Ramakrishna had achieved God realization, that is a shining, brilliant example for me, but it doesn't mean I have realized, I have his realization. No, I have to strive myself. But by his grace, through prayer, through surrender, he is capable of bestowing because he is no more Sri Ramakrishna. He is Brahman. Swami Vivekananda, if he says, I will give you liberation, he is not talking as Swami Vivekananda. He is talking about as the Brahman. And if Holy Mother says, anybody whose responsibility I have taken upon myself, that means I initiated them, accepted them as my children, they will not have to be reborn. So that is what we have to understand. Yajnavalkya says, what is spiritual life? That look upon everybody as your own self. What happens? First of all, we become sympathetic with everybody's happiness. We become happy. If somebody is suffering, we also suffer in a separate manner. We sympathize with them. We pray for them wholeheartedly with greatest love. But slowly, slowly, the world will be as it is. Nothing will change. The person will change. The seeker will change. With this background, Yajnavalkya's words, we will see first, only the first teaching we will analyze and we will apply it to all the other following lines. Brahma tam paradat yaha anyatra atmanaha brahma veda. What does it mean? Yaha. Here yaha means not any Tom, Dick and Harry, only a spiritual person. Any spiritual person. If he wants to be a spiritual person, if he wants to progress in spiritual life, atmanaha anyatra brahma veda. Brahma, that is God. Atmanaha anyatra. That is, he is separate from me. Here atmana means from oneself. So, my father is separate from me. My mother is separate from me. So, you can apply it to the whole world. So then what happens? Brahmatam paradat. Paradat means Brahman, that is in the form of mother, father, etc. Paradat. They also keep separate. So this is very practical. If you criticize somebody, that person will forever remain as your enemy or disliker and try to see you in a very negative light. But something strange happens. If somebody truly loves, sooner or later, the other person also is forced to accept and he stops criticizing. So, Brahmatam Paradat. If I look anybody else as not myself, as other than myself, that means not Brahman, not Atman, not God, not sacred, not holy, then that person will also look upon me or repay me exactly in the same coin. But what about the worldly people? So it is not that they are Brahmagnanis. What is a worldly person? He who thinks, I am completely separate from every object that is what I call the world. Not one single object is me. And if anybody thinks, such a person is called Anatma Bhakta, is a devotee of the world. And by this psychological law of Yajnavalkya, just now explained, everybody feels, you are not me, I am not you. And if the moment is, I am not you, I will not love you. If I love you, it is not for your sake. Because I am getting some benefit from you and that benefit is nothing else but only ananda, whether it is money, possessions, power, name and fame, anything is meant only to give me happiness. But if a person misunderstands this statement, if a person doesn't derive happiness from wealth, from power, from position, from name and fame, those very things become the greatest obstacles to that person's happiness. That's why if you remember, when Swami Vivekananda, after his very first talk at the Chicago Parliament of Religions, then when everyone was adoring him, he became the star of the show, as it were. How much of heartache he must have created in so many of those other teachers that had come, God alone knows. We do not know. But what is important here for us to understand, that we have to slowly expand ourselves. I cannot be my body, mind and be Atman at the same time. So that is what is taught in the Taittiriya Upanishad, 11th section. First, try to become one with your mother. Matru Devo Bhava. Then father. Then teacher. Then slowly expand it to the other persons. That is how one grows. So, Brahmatam Paradat. So, God himself, who is manifesting in the, with name and form, as the other object, whom I think is not Brahman, not Atman, not myself, synonymous words. Then, that God also thinks I am separate. And when we think that we are separate from Atman, so our Sat becomes Asat, our Chit becomes Achit, that means ignorance, and our Ananda becomes Dukkha, are extremely limited. Now we can apply Kshatram. Here Brahma means what? Brahmana Jati. We are not talking about the Supreme Brahman. We are talking about a Brahmana. So if anybody thinks a Brahmana, Jati Brahmana, is separate from me, and that Brahmana also rejects this person as separate from himself. Kshatriya. Tamparadat anyatra atmanaha kshatram veda. We have to extend exactly the same meaning. Instead of Brahmana, we have to say a kshatriya. And we have to extend the meaning, etc. What is that etc.? Vaishya, Shudra. And the next teaching is lokaha tamparaduhu anyatra atmanaha Lokan Veda. Six times this teaching is repeated with six different examples. Brahma, Kshatram, Lokaha, Devaha, Bhutani, then like previous mantra, Sarvam. So we have to extend. Then the third one, Lokaha. That is everything that exists in any loka, in this whole creation, including heavens, hells, higher worlds, lower worlds, not only human beings, animals, trees, then insects, birds, then microbes, then the non-living also. That is why for every Hindu, Himalayas is not a lifeless mountain. Himala asti uttara syam dishi devataya. So there is a great devata in the direction of the northern direction, Himalayas. Himalayo nama Nagadhirajaha. He is the emperor, he is the greatest mountain. His name is Himalaya. Himalaya's daughter is Haimavati, because he is Parvata. Parvata's daughter is called Parvati. How can a mountain have a daughter or any child, unless it is a living being? It is a living being. Prithvi is a living being. Water is a living, not only living being, but it is a living devata, without whose grace, without whose support, we will not be able to live at all. So this word loka covers up everything that we can experience, that has been experienced, that is going to be experienced in future, and what is being experienced right now. Then the fourth one is Devaha. So earlier also we have seen all these are included there. Now Yajnavalkya cut a bit short because the idea is there. So Devaha tam paraduhu. If I think that some Indra, Chandra are separate from me, they become separate. They also reject me. And then once they reject, we become their slaves. They use us as slaves, as animals. In the Chandogya we have seen, the Brihadaranyaka also we have seen, that every human being who worships a god is like an animal to gods. Just as when we possess some animals, and maybe many animals, and one of the animal runs away, we feel the loss tremendously. So we go in search of it, and then try to bring back as soon as possible. Like that, if any human being wants to escape to become one with God through spiritual practice, it is said they will create lot of obstacles. Why? Because what happens? This person will realize God. And anybody who realizes God becomes one with the whole creation. Such a person becomes one with the gods. Since a person is God himself, that is, the lower God himself, then the question of anybody saying, I will make myself an animal to myself, such an idea can never arise. So he escapes. And the devatas cannot do any harm to him, because doing any harm for such a person is like doing harm to his own self, one's own self. But it is not only devatas. Whatever is mentioned here, if I try to do any harm to a brahmana, to a kshatriya, and to this anything in this world, to devatas, to any being in this world called Bhuktani, to everything, anything in this universe, then we will be harmed. It is like, as I said many times, like trying to uplift your head and spit into the space, akasha. And then where does it fall? This is called karma phala. This is related with karma phala. Because if I do some harm to somebody, then that harm will come to me in the form of pain, suffering. It is called papam, vice. But if we do some good to somebody, even one person, not to speak of many persons, then that will be written down in our account book. This person had done something. And when we do something, how do we do? Because we feel sympathy. And what is sympathy? If I were in this state, I also would have experienced the same condition. Pain, maybe. So, that's called empathizing, sympathizing, whatever name you call it. It means that feeling there is no difference between me and this person. So, think of devas as yourself. And how to do that? Upasana. Then, the fifth one is bhutani. Bhutani means everything. So, if we reject any bhuta, a single bhuta, that this is separate from me, that bhuta instantaneously from my own side becomes separate from me, and it will also react exactly in the same way as our reaction. So the reaction will be there. And then sarvam tam paradat. Everything we reject, we see everything as different from me, and therefore everything rejects me. If I reject everything not as myself, then everything rejects me as not itself. This is the essence. What is the real lesson Yajnavalkya wants to teach? He wants to teach to Maitreyi what is spiritual life, to gradually find, identify oneself slowly with a expand myself, identify myself with more and more of the creation, and the whole of creation is contained in that panchakoshas. And once I contain, I become Ananda Swarupa, and nothing but Ananda will come. What happens when I identify myself with everything? Because in this world, we find everybody experiences happiness, everybody experiences unhappiness. But the moment we identify with everybody, so the normal doubt that can crop up, pop up is, if somebody is happy, I am happy, accepted. Somebody is unhappy, I have to be unhappy. Not acceptable, not at all rational. Why? Because if at any given time, some people are happy, some people are unhappy at the same time. So at the same time, to experience both happiness and unhappiness with the same mind is irrational. But we do not understand the truth of this matter. What is the truth? That when I identify myself with everything, so it is only myself who is happy and unhappy. It is myself who is the killer and the killed. It is myself who is the friend and enemy. And at that stage, when I realize I am playing the game, solitaire game, and that is called Leela. The more we identify, the more this whole world becomes Leela. Leela is the transformation of ignorance into knowledge. Then, when I am suffering, so I am pretending how much I am suffering. And inside, I am so glad. Am I really such a great actor that in the whole world is mistaking that I am suffering so much? And when somebody is happy, I also pretend to be extremely happy. Pretension. Remember this word. Because Leela is pretension. Drama is pretension. Cinema is a pretension. It is not reality. Unreality is a pretension from knowledge point of view. But so long as we are ignorant, we mistake this Leela as real. And that is what brings in suffering. So, idam brahma, idam kshatram, ime lokaha, ime devaha, imani bhutani, idam sarvam, yat ayam atma. Yajnavalkya concludes in this mantra, as part of this mantra. What is it telling? You are thinking something is separate from me is born out of ignorance. Because when a person identifies himself with the Atman, Brahman, then this Brahmana, the Kshatriya, these worlds, these devatas, all the beings, living and non-living, idam sarvam, everything in this creation, yet I am Atma, is nothing but manifestation of Atma. Why do we call it manifestation? Because so long as we are still in that dvaitic experience, identified with the body and mind, we experience the world as a dual. But upon enlightenment, the same duality can be experienced, but with the truth. You know how? Once, at Balaram Babu's house, Swami Brahmananda was living, and he was very fond of the children. Many times, he used to, that huge person, Brahmananda was a very big personality, not only spiritually, but physically also, huge personality. So he used to become one with the children. Even 2 years old child, he will crawl and he will play with them. And one day he wanted to have a different type of play. He entered with a tiger's mask and he jumped into that room when children are playing and roaring like a tiger. And everyone look, and then they all ran away through the other door. But one small child, he got stuck to the place. He could not move out of fear. And he was looking. After all, the face was looking like a tiger. but rest of the body is very familiar. So he started weeping, trying to stop his tears, rubbing his eyes. I know you are Maharaj. The moment the child said that, immediately Swami Brahmananda removed the tiger's mask, took the child in his arms and started dancing. So, for an enlightened person, there is everything, these are all masks. That's what one of our Swamis calls it, Vesham. God comes in the Vesham of a king, of a beggar, of a scholar, of an illiterate person, of Ravanasura and of Rama. Now, try to read the Upanishads we are studying. Sorry, try to read the Puranas. We get all these stories. So, Krishna is pretending that I love gopis. But gopis also, they also were enlightened rishis. The gopis were pretending, we are illiterate women. Krishna was also pretending, I am an illiterate, almost illiterate young man here, but extraordinarily intelligent, attractive. Nobody can escape. That is why very aptly he was called Krishna. Karshayati iti Krishnaha. He who, being helpless, he will pull you towards him and never allows you to be separate from you. The whole Rasa Leela is nothing but one of the biggest Leelas in the world. And if any foolish fellow tries to read it from purely worldly eyes, then not only he will go to hell, he will also take other people also to hell. Now, how do we know what I said is correct? Because just before the Rasa Leela takes place, there is a beautiful description of hymns called Gopi Gita. The gopis, they have got terrible blow to their ahankara because their ahankara had risen. We, by our prayers, by our sadhana, obtained Krishna. The moment that egotism rose, it stood like a huge wall in front of them, obscuring the vision of Krishna, whom they were enjoying a short while ago. And immediately, as if somebody had thrown them from the Brahmaloka to the lowest Patala, they understood. Because God's presence always enlightens us. Then they started singing, realizing their mistake. That is what is called Gopi Gita. One of those shlokas is Tavakathamritam. So, then they were singing, Nakhalu Gopika Nandano Bhavan Akhila Dehinam Antaratmadrik. Krishna, you do not mistake us. We know who you are. You are not merely the illiterate son of an illiterate gopi called Yashoda. We understand you as what? Akhila Dehinam Antaratmadrik. You are the inner self hidden in the hearts of every being. Ishvaraha Sarva Bhutanam Hriddeshe Arjuna Tishthati. We know that. How did they know? Because it is not that they were born as illiterate girls to illiterate mothers and then by the grace of Krishna they became enlightened. No. Long before Krishna had incarnated according to Sri Ramakrishna. So when God incarnated as Sri Rama, so he went to Dandakaranya. There he saw 64,000 rishis and all of them were enlightened. And then when Rama appeared before them, they got so much of joy, indescribable joy. This is called Leela. Samadhi Ananda is different. Leela Ananda is quite different. That is why devotees say, we don't want to become sugar, we want to enjoy sugar. Previously, they were enjoying sugar. The rishis were enjoying sugar. Now, they started even more enjoyment and they understood. They prayed, O Lord, this is much better than what we were experiencing. We want to be with you. Rama said, no, I will teach you a billion, trillion times superior happiness than this happiness, but not in this life. I will be reincarnating for all your sake as Krishna, and all of you will take birth as gopis. And that's what had happened. This is the Sri Ramakrishna's version, and I believe in it. So, they were all born Brahmagnanis, but they wanted to taste how a true bhakta, especially Mathura Bhakti, a sweet relationship, tastes like. Because we have seen, Shanta Bhakti gives tremendous happiness. Dasya Bhakti gives million times. So just as we have seen the description in the Taittiriya Upanishad, this Manushya Ananda is only one measure. And many hundreds of times to that is Manushya Gandharva, Karma, Deva, etc., etc. It is not 100 times, it is billions of times. So a real servant of a bhakta who assumes like Hanuman, do you think he is serving God? He is serving himself because he considers, I do not exist, only you exist. Then who is serving you? You yourself are serving yourself. But you assumed the form of me. That is the Dasya Bhakti. And million times superior to that is called Sakya Bhakti. So at every stage, the quantum and quality of happiness is increasing. And then he attains what is called Vatsalya Bhakti. There is no bhakti comparable to parental love. And that also two varieties we have seen. So the devotee thinks that I am a child, you are my parents. And some other devotees wants to say, I am your mother and you are my child. That is called parental devotion. But even much higher than that is called Mathura Bhakti. Even in Mathura Bhakti, there are two types. First is called Kanta Bhakti. Second is called Parakiya Bhakti. Kanta means a legally wedded wife, solely devoted to her husband. She derives a happiness which is indescribable because even body is offered to the Divine Lord there. But Parakiya Bhakti, so as if she is the wife of somebody else, that intensity of attraction, whatever that person is doing, like a mistress, another man's wife, fell in love with another man. She is cooking, she is serving, she is doing everything to her husband. Where is her mind? Only on her beloved. And no other bhakti can be compared. Therefore, no other joy could be compared to that. That is called Parakiya Bhakti. So this is the matter Yajnavalkya wanted to teach Maitreyi, that the more we identify ourselves with other people, the more will be our joy, indescribable, immeasurable joy. Now, Yajnavalkya wants to teach the fundamental question. Okay, you are talking, we are already within the creation, but you are also confusing me perhaps. How do I understand I am the Atman? How do I understand not only I am the Atman, but everything in this world is also Atman? That was your advice. Look upon everything as Atman. The word Atman means as one's own self. This word one's own self can be understood with a lower and with a higher two meanings. What is the lower meaning? Me, the individual person, Jivatma. But that's not what is meant. It is the second meaning, Paramatma. I am the Paramatma. That is the highest teaching that Yajnavalkya wants to teach. Because no need to teach you are a Jivatma. You are already exhibiting your knowledge from Janma Janma Antara, from many past lives. You don't need a guru for that. But who is this real Jivatma? If you understand that you are created by God, then you will understand everything in this creation is also the creation of God. What is the essence of this sentence? That is, whatever is the nature of the karana, cause, becomes what is called the same nature will come to the effect, albeit with a form and with a name, with a dress. But we are nothing but Brahman. That's what he makes it to understand. So the one Brahman is manifesting as the entire creation with infinite, uncountable names and forms. So we have to be aware that everything is of one nature and everything we perceive is because of the different forms and names. One is Samanya Sadharana Jnanam, another is Vishesha Jnanam. And this is what we will discuss in our next class. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Muhur Muhuhu. May Ramakrishna, Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with Bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.